Gift giving can be a lot of fun, especially when you find just the right item for a special person. And luckily for us, if there's a gardener on your list, there are many great options to choose from. Hi, I'm Judith Sears Poisson, sitting in for Larry Mueller today on Garden Talk. Every year about this time, we feature some great gift ideas for gardeners, but also for people that are trying to live more sustainably or more greenly. Astrid Neuenhaus is an associate scientist at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. She focuses on agriculture. Cultural sustainability. She and her sister Sonia Neuenhaus spend a lot of time putting together a wonderful list of gift ideas in a whole range of prices to fit any budget, and they share those with us every year. Astrid, thanks so much for coming back to Garden Talk.
Thank you, Judith.
Well, and since we mentioned Sonia, but she is not here herself, let's say why, because it's a really fun reason.
Oh, it's so exciting. Sonia is on maternity leave. Sonia and her husband Cecil adopted a 5-year-old boy from Ethiopia. And they just arrived back home last Saturday.
Wow.
His name is Adisu. And oh my gosh, is he learning English more and more every
day.
We
were talking about how kids that age are just sponges.
So. It's been less than a week.
Wow.
And he is a bundle of happy energy.
Oh, that's so wonderful. So I know I'm not alone in wishing Sonia and Cecil and
Adisu,
wonderful family time. And while we miss her, that's about the best reason I can think of,
yes,
for not being here. So, and if people, you know, I know people, when they hear folks on the show, you know, year after year, they kind of feel like they know them. If anyone wants to leave a little message for Sonia and her family on the Facebook page, we'll certainly make sure
that
they
fun.
Get that. And you can join our conversation by calling 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Dave Potraz waiting to answer your calls. And you can also email us at talk@wpr.org. And so we do this every year. We give people great ideas for your gardening gifts and gifts for sustainable living. And as always, you guys really came through. You've got a whole, I don't even know how many things are on the list.
We've got a 4-page list.
It's very, yeah, or even more pages when I blew it up so I could read them easily. But, you know, you've got things for gardeners, but also anyone that's trying to live more sustainably in all price ranges. Let's start with some of the gardening gifts in the under $10 range. You know, I think those would be great for stocking stuffers or maybe a smaller Hanukkah gift. What are some of those great ones in that category?
Well, in that category, I would go with something called a floating row cover for vegetable gardeners on your list. I brought it here today to show you.
Oh.
It looks like any old fabric.
It does, yeah.
But it's a special kind of fabric. It lets in light and water, and it keeps out the cold, so it's used as an insulator.
Okay.
But it also keeps out pests. And it's the kind of thing that if you're a beginning gardener, you might not know about, and it's kind of special. If you're an advanced gardener, you always go through these, and you can always use more. If you're trying to reduce pesticide use in your garden, it's something you put over the crops, and then bugs can't get to the crops.
Okay. And what about, so pests as in bugs, what about pests as in like those darn little rodents that are digging up all of my bulbs
right
now? I
had such a bad year this year with squirrels and chipmunks eating anything that had water in it.
I was just going to say, I bet
tomatoes,
that was related
cucumbers,
to the drought. Yeah.
Young squashes. It was just nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And I do use this floating row cover as a barrier against animals as well. And if it is sealed to the ground, so you put it over the crop, and then you put a little dirt on the edge of it to hold it down to the ground, then it's obviously better for keeping the squirrels and chipmunks out, because
right.
they like to dig. Oh,
right.
My gosh.
Right. Yeah, they have really been. I'm wondering if any of the, I think I planted 240 bulbs this fall. I wonder
wow.
if any of them are still where I put them, because amazingly, in the morning, many of them seem to have popped up
yes.
on their own overnight. So we'll see. And I keep stuffing them back in there, but we'll see. But speaking of bulbs, actually, you also recommend flower bulbs for indoors. Tulips, hyacinths, crocuses.
That would be a wonderful gift. There are certain flowers that work really well. It's called forcing when you have them in the house, and then you need to give them a little bit of cold first. So stick them in the fridge for a few weeks so they think it's winter.
And so is it just a few weeks? Because sometimes I've seen like 15 weeks or something. It seems like you'd have to be planning so far ahead for spring flowering.
There's, let's see, it depends on what the species of bulb is. But the easiest ones to do with the shortest time and just about guaranteed success are narcissus bulbs, looks like a white daffodil, and then crocus bulbs. And the next easiest one after that is hyacinth.
And hyacinths, not all of them, but often they have that intoxicating
smell, perfume,
yes. too. Yeah. Yes. So that's especially kind of welcome when there's nothing yes. green around.
So as a gift, I wouldn't just give the raw bulb. I would wrap it up nicely and with a pot with some compost in it. Or else there's these really nice vases, a clear glass vase specifically meant to hold a bulb. And then you can see the roots form, too. And that's really pretty, too.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I think sometimes, yeah, we often hide a lot of those processes, yeah. like the rooting and things like that. But that in and of itself is a really interesting thing to watch and appreciate.
Yes.
And, you know, talking about bulbs, of course, also seeds for veggies or flowers or seeds that you share from your own plants.
Yes. And there's some really interesting seeds. And again, if you have a beginning gardener, there's some just way cool stuff that they may not have thought of, like Easter egg radish, which has all these different colors all in one seed packet. So you get pink radishes, red radishes, striped radishes. That's fun for kids because it's a quick crop.
Right.
But for an experienced gardener, there's always new collections of, for example, gourds. There's a star-shaped gourd. Hmm. There's a warty kind of scary looking gourd. Anyone who's recently been to farmers market to see the Halloween and fall decorative gourds, there's a zillion different kinds. And that would be fun as gifts. Sprouts would be a great idea. Seeds for sprouting. And there's always new ones of that as well. And salad greens.
Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah, and going back to the bulbs, and it would apply to the seeds too, I think it's really nice also to print out, you know, maybe put on nice paper or something, print out directions on how to, especially with the bulbs, because even if you give them all the components, they may not know what to do with them. So,
and of course, Judith, the absolute best would be to come back and say, I'll do this for you.
There's that. Yes, and we'll talk about gifts of time, which I love. You can join our conversation. We're talking with Astrid Neuenhaus about great garden gifts and green gift ideas for the upcoming holidays. Call us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org or go to our Facebook page and leave a question or comment. And in addition, we have the entire list, as Astrid said, four chock full pages worth on the Facebook page. That's The Larry Mehler Show, and Mehler is spelled M-E-I-L-L-E-R. Also, in case you're not that comfortable moving around Facebook, we can actually email that to you if you'd like to send an email to talk@wpr.org. Dave Potras can get that right out to you. So lots of great ideas. And I have to say, as someone with a December birthday, it's not just for Christmas or Hanukkah.
Oh, pretty nice.
You know, and there are a lot of things on there that you could give any time of the year.
Yes.
So I was thinking especially like a housewarming gift. There's so many great items on that.
I really like natural organic soaps. Mm. And there's a whole bunch of different kinds. Some are infused with herbs like lavender. Some are made from different milk like goat milk or sheep milk.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of something that anybody can use but also is a little special. And that would be in the under $10 range and really special.
And in the under $10 range, you also have some great food-related items. So, for instance, canning labels, funnels, cherry pitters, strawberry hullers.
Yeah, there's a resurgence of interest in canning lately. And again, if you're a beginner just starting out, there's some really nice tools that help, like a funnel, just a simple plastic funnel, but which is specifically meant to fit that canning jar. And that really helps a lot.
And you also talk about some finished products like organic maple syrup or sugars or maple cream or maple candy. And not only have you and Sonia put together a great list, but you also give us ideas of where to find those. And certainly a lot of the maple things are available at local farmers markets, but you also have a supplier listed.
Yes. Maple Valley Co-op out of Cashton, Wisconsin. And in our family, if we travel abroad and we're often thinking, well, what can we bring that you can actually get through customs and that isn't a liquid and that's special from our part of the woods?
Mm-hmm.
We bring organic maple sugar or organic maple candy.
Mm-hmm.
And in our family, of course, it's easier because Cecil is a maple sugar farmer.
Well, there you go.
So we get it right from him.
How convenient. And actually, going along with that, things that are easy to put in a suitcase or things like that, that kind of say Wisconsin, also dried cranberries are great, and wild rice.
Yes.
As well.
Those are all great
and
gifts.
And people really appreciate those. So you have also, you talked about the natural organic soaps. You also have a nail brush and kitchen scrubbers on there. What's great about those?
Well, gardeners, I don't know if you garden, Judith.
I do.
Your nails just always get gross.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some really fun and funky nail brushes out there, and that would make a nice gift.
And it's also nice to have one at each sink that you might go to, because it doesn't help if it's in the bathroom and you're in the kitchen. So,
and this thing, this loofah sponge kitchen scrubber, it's just a natural kitchen scrubber made out of the loofah plant.
And which is a natural, sponge. Yeah. Great. We did have a comment on the Facebook page. Jennifer says she would love to get a Klein's greenhouse gift card.
Oh, Klein's is a great place.
And I think, a gift card to any local greenhouse is a great one. And, going back to talking about where you recommend buying things, a lot of the suppliers on the list are Wisconsin or Midwest independent and family businesses.
Yes, that's what we specifically look for, and that's what we promote.
And how does that tie into the concept of sustainability? Because sustainability is a really core value for you and Sonia and a lot of our listeners.
Right. Well, it's part of it is economic sustainability. Whatever dollar is spent close to home stays close to home, so that helps all of us. And then the carbon footprint of transportation. So a gift that you buy that was shipped here from California, It has a bigger impact on the environment and our planet than one that you bought at the farmer's market just around the corner.
And one of the nice things about farmer's markets now is I think more and more are doing a winter version as well, an indoor market. So I think in years past, the market was ending right about when people were just kind of starting to think about gifts, and so they weren't there. But I know around the state, there are markets that are going well into December and beyond. Almost some places, there's almost a weekly market all year now.
Right. And we need to support our local farmers because we all benefit from the green space and the healthy way that the farmers take care of the land. So unless we are the ones buying their produce, otherwise we may lose that land and the benefit to all of us.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's move on to our next category up, which is the...
Oh, that's the $10 to $25.
$10 to $25, still quite affordable. And one of the things you have in your hand is a timer.
I love this timer. This is a mechanical timer. It looks just like a kitchen timer.
Mm-hmm.
Am I allowed to start this on the radio? Can you hear this tick, tick, ticking?
It's pretty low, actually.
So it's like a kitchen timer.
Mm-hmm.
You put it on your faucet, and then you attach the hose to the bottom of it. And it's set for up to an hour's worth of turning on the faucet and leaving it on.
Wow.
So in this, and it's run by the pressure from the faucet.
Mm-hmm.
So in this past year with the drought, I use this thing every day. I would put the drip irrigation wherever I wanted it. And then turn the hose on with this timer, let it run for 15, 20 minutes, and be done.
That's great. And even if you're there and, just doing other things, it can be really easy to lose track of how long you've had something set for. And, unfortunately, as you said, this past year with the drought, water was something we had to be thinking about a lot. And what about some other items for in the garden? This one I love, raised bed corner brackets, metal or plastic, to easily construct a raised bed from lumber.
Yep. Raised beds are great because they the soil is heated up and it reduces compaction. Compaction is a really, really terrible thing.
Mm-hmm.
For plants and soil. Soil is a living organism, so
right.
We can't be walking on it and expect it to be healthy. And so in a raised bed, you get that soil up off the ground and it prevents compaction. You can get a huge yield from a raised bed. So a lot of people are interested in them now.
Mm-hmm.
And with these brackets, it makes it much easier to build one from scrap or junk-picked lumber or lumber you might have lying around the house. And they're relatively inexpensive.
That's great. And I have to say, we did build raised beds. And when I say we, I really mean my husband. they last for years, but the construction was not easy.
Yeah, so it's a little daunting.
That one jumped out at me. Going along with the gardening, a pot maker, a wooden form for making seedling pots out of newspaper. And those are pretty widely available.
Yeah. And it's a, like the size of your hand. Mm-hmm. It's a wooden form, and it's the kind of wooden thing that's really nice to just hold.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of rounded, and I don't know. It's just a fun thing.
And it's a great way to make those little seed pots out of something that you probably have laying around anyway, like newspaper.
And it also, horticulturally, it's wonderful for the plant because you plant the plant in that paper pot. And the paper then disintegrates as it's in the soil.
Okay.
So you're not disturbing the root. You don't pull the plant out
right.
of that pot.
Oh, that's great.
So that's a really nice thing. And kids like to make those pots.
Sure. And why not put them to work if you can, especially those busy times of gardening. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, sitting in today for Larry Mueller. It's Garden Talk, and we are visiting with Astrid Neuenhaus, talking about great garden gifts and sustainable living gifts for people on your various holiday gift lists. We'd love to have you join the conversation by calling 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Are you a gardener? What would you be happy to get as a gift? And what's the best gardening gift you've ever gotten? We'd love to hear from you. Join us as if you can. It's Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. So glad you could join us today, and so glad that Astrid Neuenhaus could take some time to spend with us to talk about great gardening gifts and green living gifts for anyone on your list. Or maybe if people ask you what you would like, this will give you some ideas too. I know I always kind of blank when people say, well, you know, what would you like for your birthday or what would you like for Christmas? And I always think, I'm sure there's something, but it's not coming to me right now. Well, we had just talked about using scrap lumber or lumber you have around the house for making raised garden beds. And Lane commented on Facebook, my husband sawed some scrap wood into 1-foot garden stakes that I could write on. They made my rural garden look nicer. I also appreciate Fiskar pruners and any of their products. They're so well made.
Oh,
and,
yes.
And Fiskar is a Wisconsin company, if I'm not mistaken.
It is. And here we are looking at a Fiskar's pruner. But let me talk about the garden stakes.
Yes.
That's a great idea. And it's so important to label what you have and keep records of it, so then you know for next year.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you want to know where you planted what.
Right.
And sometimes you also want to know what did not work, so I don't plant that again.
Mm-hmm. And 1-foot stakes, that's pretty high off the ground, so I can see why she says they were also decorative.
Yeah, that's really nice.
And so you do have some pruners in your hand that are quite special and really nice. I got to try them out before the show.
These are Fiskar's rotating handle pruners. It's a regular hand pruners, mm-hmm. but the bottom part, Judith, can you see my 4 fingers here on the bottom?
Right, they're rolling.
They're rolling because the handle has some kind of gear mechanism that rolls with my hand as I'm using the pruner. And why that is special is because it's less stress on my hand. So,
and especially if you're pruning a lot of things. I mean, whether you were saying it would be great for someone that might have some arthritis in their hands, but even if you have the healthiest hands around, that can start hurting after a while.
There is a recommendation by the Arthritis Council on some tools that are called ease of use, and this is one of those tools. You can look for that label, the Arthritis Council ease of use label.
Great.
And this Fiskar's pruner is one. And there's also a power stroke pruner. And now we're talking about bigger loppers that you use with
two
both hands.
Yeah.
But Fiskar's has one that has a power stroke gear in it that doubles the strength of the use of your hands. So it's really cool.
Great. Yeah. So any kind of tools like that, I think, would be a welcome gift. And, you know, having a second, say, pruner isn't a bad idea either if you're able to enlist someone to help. It's nice to have a tool. And actually, you talk about in the same gift category of $10 to $25, you talk about rotary tool sharpeners for hoes, spades, and to use with your drill.
Sharpening tools is really important because, again, it makes them easier to use. It also makes them cut cleaner, which prevents bacteria mm-hmm. and fungal spores from getting into the plant. So you want to keep your tools sharp. And you could either start simple with a metal file, which is cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you really get into sharpening, there's a couple different ways. There's a, do you know what a Dremel is?
No.
It's like a small drill that has all these attachments on the front that are wheels.
Oh, okay.
So there's a wheel attachment for a power drill.
Okay. I'm just laughing because our producer, Dave Potraz, is giving that the thumbs up. So he obviously has experience with those if I don't.
So these are wheels, like grinding wheels, that you attach to your drill and then use them to sharpen tools.
And going along with that, you were mentioning that it's important to keep our tools well sharpened because a tool can be a way of transmitting disease.
Yes.
I was thinking, actually, along with that sharpening gift, you could also put together the mixture of solution that you should wipe your tools with,
yes.
Like the diluted bleach solution, put
right.
it in a nice little bottle to go along with it, too.
And when we talk about sharpening tools, we're not just talking about cutting tools like pruners, but we're also talking about your hoe, your spade. People don't tend to think of those as needing to be sharp, but it's amazing how much easier it is to use when they're sharp.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like a kitchen knife. I mean, it's not only safer, but it cuts a lot better if you're keeping it in good shape. You also talk about some kitchen items. One is an over-the-sink colander, and I remember us talking about that last year. What's so great about an over-the-sink colander?
I don't know if you're a member of a CSA farm where weekly you get shares of produce, or if you have a garden that's maybe a little bit out of hand. Once once you start vegetable gardening, your kitchen gets full of vegetables, and often all at once, whatever the crop is.
Right.
And so there's a lot of chop, chop, chopping going on. And this colander, there's like a little framework that holds it, and it's just easier to rinse the vegetables. It's just simpler.
Mm-hmm. And it's, if I'm remembering correctly, it's hands-free because it kind of hooks onto the sink. So that helps out too.
Yes. And the next step from that would be there's one that attaches to a cutting board.
Oh.
So
that would be handy.
Yes. So you can cut and then like just slide it right over into the colander and wash in one motion.
Well, and we're talking about chop, chop, chopping with all that wonderful produce. Also in that $10 to $25 range of gifts, you have a compost pail for the kitchen counter. And what's your favorite type for that?
Well, people always ask about this. Even when they see it in Sonia's house and my house, we often get questions, where'd you get that? And it's a very simple, it's a stainless steel, looks like a stainless steel little bucket with a handle. Has a lid, so there's no smell. And that one we get from Lee Valley Tools.
Oh, great.
And Judith, I should mention that the distributors that we mentioned are all on this list.
So people can easily find them. And I have to say, I was thrilled when we moved my daughter into her dorm apartment to start her first year of college. This was up in Montreal. It came with a countertop compost bin.
Oh, you're kidding.
And in the dorm, there's a big place where you carry your little bucket down to. So
that's great.
I know. And I was thrilled. And it is, you know, I think the biggest concern people have is, oh, is it going to really smell? But they're really well made. And especially if you're sticking with just vegetable or green material.
It does not empty itself.
Right.
We've noticed. That's been a little bone of contention in our household.
Yeah. Now, moving back outside, you have in that same category red plastic mulch to increase tomato yields. What's that about? I have actually not heard of that.
There's a lot of research in horticulture about the fact that if you grow tomatoes on a red color of plastic, so we're talking about putting plastic down on the soil as a mulch. Typically, that plastic is black for most crops. Well, tomatoes, especially like red, it increases the yield of the tomatoes.
And do they know why?
I have not studied this.
That's really fascinating.
Yeah.
So when you say red plastic mulch, is that like shredded mulch or is that
it's a sheet.
Sheet, just like the black
right.
plastic you usually see. Wow, that's
fascinating. So if there's leftovers, you can use it as a tablecloth or
there
something.
There you go. Always good, because I either buy way too little or way too much. I never seem to hit exactly the right one. You also have, I love this, an LED headlamp for gardening at night.
Yes.
Which, of course, I think we would all say, oh, I'd never be gardening at night. And yet, I bet most of us have found ourselves out there.
Oh, yes.
At
you
kind of
get on a roll and you don't want to come in. And also, there are people who have cottages up north and they find themselves trying to do a week's worth of gardening in a weekend. And it's amazing what you can get done in a weekend, but you might need a little help from your headlight.
Especially if you get up there Friday evening and you want to really dig in, literally. Well, we are talking with Astrid Neuenhaus, talking about great garden gifts and also sustainable living gifts for people who might be on your holiday gift list. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, sitting in for Larry Mueller on Garden Talk today. You can join the conversation by calling 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also send us an email at talk@wpr.org, or you can always leave a question or a comment or a suggestion on our Facebook page, and that is The Larry Mueller Show, and Mueller is spelled M-E-I-L-L-E-R. You know, listeners, what about green living gifts? Is there a gadget or book that you can't imagine living without? And have you maybe given it as a gift yourself? We'd love to hear from you. And Astrid, you were just holding up a couple calendars.
Al Krause from the Dodge County Master Gardener Association, he sent me a beautiful calendar, and it's a fundraiser for the Dodge County Master Gardeners Association. It has photos for each month.
They had a
photo contest, and people sent in photos, and they made them into this beautiful
calendar. Oh, very
calendar.
Nice. Flowers and birds and mushrooms and veggies. And I think I just saw a little frog or toad and a deer.
Oh, there's a goat.
Oh.
And so there are a lot of these calendars out there. So this is just one example. Another example is the University of Wisconsin Wildlife Phenology Calendar from the Environmental Resources Center.
And we often talk to the folks that put that together every year. And for those that might not be familiar with it, phenology is the times of year when different natural events happen.
Yes.
So when are generally the first migratory birds coming through, or when is the first particular flowering, things like that. And it's a really wonderful way, I think, to really tap into and tune into the cycles of nature.
Yes.
And really feel part of it.
And at work, it's fun. We all have this calendar because I work at the Environmental Resources
right.
Center. And it's fun to say, let's meet on the day that the ring-necked pheasants begin to winter in the cattails, shall
great.
We?
That's great. And then people have to figure out when that is. That's great. That's when you know you're deeply into nature. Well, those are great options. And you know, I think that there are a lot of really nice calendars that also aren't just pretty to look at, but offer, you know, recipes or
yes.
offer, you know, different kind of value-added elements to them. Well, Tom in Cedarburg is on the line, so let's go there and see what he has to say. Hi, Tom.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Well, I have a question about grass seed. Is now not a good time to put down some grass seed? I've got some spots that have died out. I've got quite a few trees, so there's a lot of shade. I'm wondering, could I put out some seed now, or should I wait till spring, or what do you think?
Tom, I have seeded parts of my lawn in December, so I can tell you that it is possible to have success now, but it is not the prime time. So I would do it only if you happen to have the seed and if you have in your mind that it will not completely take. The best time to do this is late August, early September. But the grass seed is relatively cheap, and there's no harm in doing it now.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I'm planning on doing that in a couple spots in my lawn this weekend.
Okay. Well, thanks. Thanks for the info.
Sure.
You're welcome.
And I'm thinking, you know, going back to seeds as a great gift, you know, especially if you have someone that maybe has moved into a new house and needs to do
yes.
kind of large scale work, not only, you know, maybe picking up, I know we're going to have Neil DeBull from Prairie Nursery on next Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. I know they have some great no-mow or low-mow grass seed mixes.
Yes.
That, you know, those might be, you know, a bag of that and some hours of your time and a little gift certificate to help put it down. That could be a great gift that, you know, you could give to someone who, you know, is, it has a lot of new gardening to do.
That no-mow seed is really, the lawn is really pretty. It works only in part shade, so mm-hmm. it will not work in a full sun lawn.
Right.
And it works on areas that you don't walk on. It can't take compaction.
Mm-hmm.
But it creates this lawn that it looks like a little, like, fairy meadow.
Because there's
really
lots of,
pretty.
Yeah, lots of
it's a fine
waving.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and a really nice environment for wildlife, too.
Yes.
So that's an added bonus that you'll probably see a lot more good activity out there, too. Well, let's go to Jan in Greendale next. Hi, Jan.
Hi. Good morning, and thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have carpal tunnel, and I was listening, and I heard you talking with the guest about the Fiskars pruner that's easy for people with arthritis.
Right.
Would that be helpful for me also?
Absolutely, Jan. I wish you could see what I'm doing here, but as I'm holding the pruner, picture the top of your hand and your thumb, and that's straight, but the bottom, your fingers rotate with the handle. It's so easy.
And what was the name of it again?
It's a rotating handle pruners, and
okay,
Felco makes one, and Fiskars makes one.
Okay, thank you so much. And I just wanted to tell you that I know your dad, and I really miss the miss going to the cottage.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Is he well?
Yes.
I don't know if you can say that or not. But,
oh, yes. Yes. Hank and Linda are doing very well, and they moved to a condo in Richland Center this year.
I heard that they moved to a condo, and he loaned me a book last year, and I need to get it back to him. And so I gave the screener my email address, if you wouldn't mind. And you can chat with him. He knows myself and my daughter
Great.
Really well.
Well, thanks for that call, Jan.
Thanks, Jan.
Nice to hear from you. And you can join in the conversation by calling 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Judith Sears Poisson sitting in for Larry Miller and talking with Astrid Neuenhaus about great sustainable and green gifts for all the people on your holiday gift lists and beyond. And Mary in Madison's next. Hi, Mary.
Hi. I'm calling. I'm actually having a debate with friends, and we have a question for Astrid. Wouldn't you say that the Christmas present for any gardener would be a good lawn ornament?
I'm sorry, you're cutting out a little bit. A good what?
Lawn ornament.
Oh, okay. Well, there are certainly some. It depends on your level of taste, I would say. Some are definitely...
This is an issue of taste, and I personally do not like lawn ornaments, but I have some friends who, let's just say they have a lawn ornament parade every spring when they put them out, and a second parade every fall when they take them
down. Wow. So, yeah, they're committed lawn ornament
yes.
owners.
And they...
We're on managed.
Okay, I'm sorry, Mary, but you're really cutting in and out. I feel, Astrid, like maybe we talked about this last year, and didn't we kind of come to the decision that either you have to do it full tilt or not at all?
I would agree.
So maybe one lawn ornament, really not, but...
And they seem to breed. It seems that if you put one out there, for example, a plastic Winnie the Pooh holding his little palms up.
Oh, dear.
It seems that if you put one out, then more follow. And this is an invasive species type
there
of question.
There you go. Wow. Well, we'll have to dedicate a whole program sometime to the invasive lawn ornaments and what to do. Well, that's a great question, Marion. And from what we could tell, it sounds like she's probably in the pro-lawn ornament.
Yes, I have camp. A feeling she may inhabit Goodwill and St. Vinny's and perhaps even making ornaments of her own.
Well, anyone who has a Mary and Madison on their gift list, you might want to look at lawn ornaments because there's at least one out there that would appreciate one. Thanks for that call, Mary. And one of the things I want to make sure we touch on in the $10 to $25 gift range is a hand crank coffee grinder. And what do you like about that?
Just that it's some people drink a lot of coffee, and there are ways that you can reduce your electrical use and have fun at the same time. And this is one of those ways.
And now, are those grinders, can you adjust them for how coarse or fine
yes.
you want it? So really, you're not missing out on anything.
And there's also the old-fashioned one that you may have seen in antique stores.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the type that can adjust coarse or fine.
It's
but
just
they're
the standard.
Still really,
yeah.
really great and can be used for nuts as well.
Oh, that's a great idea. I wonder, you know, I do use my electric coffee grinder to grind spices sometimes,
oh,
too.
Yeah.
Do you think you'd be able to use the hand crank?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Great. I want to touch on a couple. We've been talking about water a lot in this year. Certainly watering was a really important job that we had to do in our gardens. You have a sprinkler stand that holds sprinklers higher, so it works better.
Yeah, it's like a stake, but it's a sturdy stake meant for a sprinkler. And then it's actually, you can save water because the water goes right where you want it to go.
Mm. And so when you say for a sprinkler, do you mean the kind of oscillating
no.
one or like the kind of...
The kind that goes...
Okay, that kind. Okay. That sound effect told me exactly what you were talking about. You also have a noodle head small sprinkler with flexible nozzles.
Oh, we love the noodle head. We've talked about the noodle head before, but it's worth repeating because it's small... And it has these short little flexible heads so that you can point that water exactly where you want it to go and not waste any on your driveway or on the edges or borders where you don't want it to go.
Oh, that's great. And you also have, and I think this is really a great idea, and you could get just one or two at a much lower cost, but for anyone, either as an add-on present or a present on their own, you have a set of Growing Fresh Market Vegetables in Wisconsin, the series put out by the UW Extension Publications. And that's a great series, but they also have one-off kind of publications about basically anything you would be
yes.
growing or doing in your garden.
Karen Delahoe and I wrote that series a few years ago, and it was geared for farmers market growers, but it's also excellent for beginning farmers and beginning gardeners. And there's another updated version, which is written in plain language for people whose English is a difficulty or speak another language.
That's great. So it's at a much lower reading level, basically.
It's a simpler level. It's the same information, but written in a simpler style.
That's wonderful. That's really great. We are talking with Astrid Neuenhaus. She is an associate scientist at the University of Wisconsin-Madison and focuses on agricultural sustainability. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, sitting in today for Larry Mueller on Garden Talk. Talking today with Astrid Neuenhaus about great green and sustainable and gardening gifts for folks on your holiday gift list. We'd love to have you join the conversation by calling 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Tell us what's on your holiday wish list. Maybe someone who's planning on getting you something will hear it. And also, we'd love to know what your suggestions and comments are about great gifts for use in the garden, use in the kitchen, just overall green living. And Astrid, you brought a couple treats.
I brought two things I made from elderberries, and I was hoping you could try them and
Absolutely.
Tell me what you think.
Sure. So the first one is an elderflower concentrate. And
it's a juice that I made from the flowers.
And so it's from the flowers, not from the berries.
Not from the berries.
Okay.
And bear in mind, if you harvest your flowers, then you won't have any fruit.
That's a good point. Oh, and even before I tasted it, the scent is really lovely. It's very light. Wow,
so
it's very nice.
And it's very light colored. It looks almost like a very diluted honey.
Yeah, you're right. Now, I'm tasting something that's almost a little citrusy.
Yes.
Okay.
So what I did was I boiled the elderberry flowers and added some fresh cut lemons to it.
Mm.
And then had the lemons infuse with the flowers for, I think it was 24 hours or something.
It's very light. And so is this then, is the end product the actual beverage, or is it like a syrup or something that you can add to other things?
It's either a syrup, so it's a very concentrated liquid. This one that you drank, I added a lot of water to.
Okay.
Because it's also, I added sugar in there. So it's quite sweet.
It is, which I like.
And you can use this as a syrup. You can make a jelly out of it. Or what we like to do is just drink it as a juice.
I could see actually adding the syrup to fizzy water, carbonated water, and making a really light, bubbly drink,
yes,
too.
Yes, that too. So now try this. This is the elderberry fruit syrup.
Everybody can hear that there is actually something being handed up. So this looks like a berry syrup. It's a beautiful dark pink kind of claret color. Mm.
That's made from the fruit.
And wow.
The
that's
fruit
delicious.
Are those, it's like a flat umbel that has these tiny little berries that if you eat them raw, they're very, they have a lot of tannic acid
okay.
and they
so very
make
sharp.
A pucker. But cooked, they make this delicious jelly and syrup, which is, I find so interesting because it's totally different than what you make from the flour.
You would never guess it was from the same plant.
Yeah.
But as you said, unless you've got more elderberry plants than you know what to do with, you're going to have either the flowers or the berries
right.
or a little of both, but because the flowers eventually turn into the berries.
And this year with the drought, I noticed that elderberries still did quite well. They're a native plant to Wisconsin, and it was a very good year for elderberries. I've made a lot of syrup, which I'm putting on my giveaway list.
It's very nice. And actually, when we had Philippe Coquart on Monday talking about the Wallersheim Winery in Beaujolais uh-huh. Nouveau, someone called and asked about elderberry wine. And the general idea was that as far as fruit wines go, it's one of the most delicious. So that's yet another use for
yes.
those elderberries. Well, let's talk a little more about the next category up, gift ideas $25 to $50. And the first thing you have there is a kit to grow your own mushrooms. Field and Forest Products is where you get yours. But I think there are quite a few suppliers for mushroom kits.
Yes.
And what are the different types of mushroom kits?
There's the mushroom kits go along with what type of mushroom that you want to be growing. So there's button mushroom kits, there's shiitake kits. What's that one that starts with a P that I can't think of?
The portobello.
Portobellas.
Yeah. And crimini are the small portobellas.
Yes.
So
you decide
too.
Which type you want to grow and then get the kit for that. I've actually never done it, but this is on my wish list one of these years.
There you
It'd
go.
Be really fun.
I think it would be really fun. And, you know, it's one of those things, especially shiitakes. You know, they're about $20 a pound if
yeah.
you're buying them in the
yes.
grocery store. So.
And this Field and Forest Products is out of Peshtigo, Wisconsin.
Great. I just love how much attention you and Sonia put into really supporting those Wisconsin businesses and Wisconsin producers. I think for a lot of us, we would, you know, always prefer to support something more local. So the next thing in the $25 to $50 category, we were laughing about this before the program, was an item that generated so much discussion
Holy
a year
cow,
ago.
That was amazing.
It was people love that. I mean, if the calls and emails and Facebook comments are any indication, anyone would be thrilled to get this next item, which is a Foley food mill. Tell us what that does.
And it's a simple, old-fashioned thing. It's for basically pureeing vegetables or fruit. Like if you make applesauce,
mm-hmm.
You chop up the apples, put it in this mill, and you grind it by hand.
And so it's basically a hand crank food processor.
Right.
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 And is I've never used one myself.
I haven't either.
But people were swearing by it. And as I recall, a lot of people were saying that it's great for making homemade baby food.
Right.
And
right.
so if you have someone on your list who is either expecting or might have a new baby, this might be a really good gift. And so it falls in the $25 to $50 category. That's not very
yeah.
expensive.
And people were just so jazzed
it
about
was, it. We were overrun with positive calls about the Foley food maker. You also have quite a few garden items, a garden glide cart, which it's kind of like one of those snow saucers.
Yeah, there's always people are always trying to find a better way to pull or move heavy items. And this is one of those. I haven't tried it myself, but it the idea is it does not have wheels. It's a saucer-like plastic
mm-hmm.
object.
So it just glides over
things. It glides, yes.
And I could really see that. I have a wheelbarrow, but a lot of times I run into, you know, long grass or something. You know, the wheelbarrow doesn't get through as easily, and I can totally see the saucer just sliding right through.
And with the wheelbarrow, you have to lift up to get it into there, or else you have to tip the wheelbarrow, and then there's always the balance is hard with a wheelbarrow.
And you also have, I love this, the gardener's hollow leg. Because who couldn't use an extra leg? And this is a sack for collecting either harvested things or prunings.
It's something you wear on your belt. And the innovation is that it's not just a sack. You could sew a sack on your own. And the sack that we're talking about, like, goes down. If you're wearing it on your belt, it would go down to your knee.
Okay.
But it has this...
or a little lower if you're of short stature like me.
It has this rigid ring that keeps the opening open.
Great. So you don't have to be struggling to open it, and you can just drop things in. I think that sounds great. And you have a cobra head weeder.
That's a fantastic Wisconsin-made product.
And what does it do?
It comes either long-handled or short-handled, and it's just a small cultivator blade on like a hook. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful weeder. It's also very well made, and it's not expensive. The Cobra Head Weeder.
That's great. And it's a Wisconsin company, you said.
Right. That's another reason we love it.
Great. Well, let's go to Jean in Pipersville next. Hi, Jean.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I have a comment, and now I have a question.
Okay. Well, what's your comment first?
Well, I was happy to hear you say Lee Valley. I have many of their products from the compost bucket on my counter to the nail scrubber, etc. But the best gift I ever got from them was I asked my parents for the match set of stainless steel spade and I can't think what they're called, the fork thing.
The fork, the garden fork.
Oh, cool.
Yes, and as one of those people who tends to leave their tools outside in the rain... Or the rain comes unexpectedly.
We've never done that, Jean.
The stainless steel is heaven, and they're wonderful, and Lee Valley is very good to work with, so I was happy to hear you mention them.
Great. And so what's your question?
My question is, now you talked about that glide. I am a hobbyist beekeeper. Is that strong enough for me to put a super of honey on, which weighs in the vicinity of 50 pounds, and glide it up my lawn to the garage?
It should be. I would go to the company. I would Google Garden Glide Cart, or else go to the company Gardener's Edge, because there you'll see the description, and they have big bags of soil on it and rocks on it, which are typically in the 40-50 pound range when you buy them. So I would think it would.
Because I put it in one of those garden carts that the sides fall down, and it's quite a haul for me to pull it. I mean, it's not like I have a hill, but it's enough of an incline that it gets to be a chore.
Sure. And I have friends who are new beekeepers, and it seems like they're adding supers left and right. Their bees seem to be very happy and productive. So I can see why you'd want a good solution for that.
Okay.
Great. Thanks so much for that, Jean. And I really want to point out something that made me smile when I saw on the list in the $25 to $50 category, you have hand crank radio to listen to garden talk without any batteries, which is great.
I love my hand crank radio. I take it out in the garden with me. I take it everywhere. And yes, it's old fashioned to listen to the radio, you know, no earbuds. But
it's
nice. I like being able to hear the birds and hear what's around me at the same time as hear the radio.
No, I think that's, and I just wanted to point that out because that was a nice tip of the hat to garden talk. Well, Michelle in Stevens Point has an idea too. Hi, Michelle.
Hello. Thanks for the program.
Sure.
I just do a little bit of gardening here, and I do rely a lot on our local CSA farms for a lot of what I get in our farmers market, and I'm so appreciative of that. Don't know what I'd do without it. But for the holidays coming up, I have a lot of relatives that live in urban areas, and they are a lot further from their food source than we are here. And I had the pleasure of reading The Good Food Revolution by Will Allen. Mm. And it's on my list to give to some of my dear relatives and friends, because it's so inspiring.
And Will Allen being, a Wisconsin icon.
You betcha. You betcha. I mean, starting out, you know, in roots in farming, but then becoming a European athlete in basketball, and then going back to farming and really working with his community so directly in Milwaukee.
Growing Power is the group.
Growing Power. And I just find his place so inspiring. And also, when you read this book, you really look at reading his whole his journey, his family's journey, and the sharecropping that his people came from. And it just, I don't know, for me, gave me a much fuller picture of what agriculture was and what it could be in the future if we had more places like Growing Power. But the book is, you know, just full of poignant stories. So I really recommend it, especially, you know, for like a family read or something.
Right. I think it's a really great topic to share with other family members and kids. And there are a bunch of books and magazines on the list of green and gardening gifts that Astrid Neuenhaus and Sonia Neuenhaus have put together for us. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. This is Garden Talk. Even when we're in the midst of holiday busyness, I think most of us really want to find just the right gift for people on our holiday list. But sometimes it's much easier said than done to first think of the right gift and then to know where to find it. Hi, I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, sitting in for Larry Mueller today on Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Every year, about this time, we feature some great gift ideas for gardeners, but also for people that are trying to live a little more sustainably. Astrid Neuenhaus is an associate scientist at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. She focuses on agricultural sustainability, and she and her sister Sonia Neuenhaus spend a lot of time putting together a really wonderful list of gift ideas in a range of prices to fit any budget. Astrid, always great to have you with us.
Thanks, Judith.
Well, right before the news, we got a good book idea as a gift. I'm talking about Will Allen's book. And we also got an email from Lynn in Oregon, who has a book recommendation, Putting Food by Janet Green and Ruth Hertzberg and Beatrice Vaughn. And she says this book helps you with canning, freezing, drying, pickling, curing food, and also has wonderful recipes. She said it should be on your shelf if you are a gardener. That sounds like a great recommendation.
That's an old standard. It's it has been updated many times. That's a wonderful book.
And one of the old standards, too, that's on your list of books to think about, and I love this one, the Square Foot Gardening book by Mel Bartholomew.
Yes. And he's just redone that one, and that too. If you're just starting gardening, I would highly recommend that book.
Also, another great, you know, we were talking about how Will Allen is really a Wisconsin icon in the food and gardening and growing movement. Also, Lisa Kiveris and John Ivanko from In Serendipity, a bed and breakfast, a sustainable bed and breakfast, have a wonderful cookbook. We've had them on to talk about it, called Farmstead Chef.
Yes, and this is one that not only does it have wonderful recipes in it, but it's a beautiful book. It has great pictures, and it has stories about the local food, about members of the local food movement, about farmers and other cooks.
There are wonderful kind of vignettes and little anecdotes about living sustainably, too,
yes,
which I think people will find empowering and inspiring. You also have a book called The Human-Powered Home by Tamara Dean. What is that about?
That's about all these hand crank, and this woman has set up a bicycle that she can use to basically power some cooking equipment in her house, like the coffee grinder, mm-hmm, and
perhaps the Foley food mill.
So that's kind of fun.
That's great. And as I was saying earlier, Neil DeBull from Prairie Nursery will be here next Friday to talk about native plants and grasses. You have a book called Landscaping with Native Plants of Wisconsin by Lynn Steiner.
This is a very accessible book with descriptions and photos of some plants that are just excellent for landscaping in Wisconsin.
And of the books and magazines that you list on the list, and I want to make sure people know they can get the full gift suggestion list at our Facebook page. That's The Larry Mueller Show. And Mueller is spelled M-E-I-L-L-E-R. You can also send an email to talk@WPR.org. If you would like the list just emailed to you, Jennifer Dargan, our on-air producer, will be happy to shoot that right out to you. So we can send that to you as a Word document if that's an easier way for you to access it. But Astrid, looking at the books and magazines, what are some of your favorites?
Well, this year I really enjoyed a book called Turn Here, Sweet Corn by Atina Diffley. And it's a memoir from a Minnesota organic farmer who describes how she got into the movement and her experiences being a small-scale organic farmer in Minnesota near the Twin Cities. Hmm. And it becomes a story of land, because the land that she ended up farming on belonged to her husband's family for generations. And then it was slated to be developed into a school. And they actually lost that land and moved the farm to another piece of land and raised their family, you know, on both of these pieces of land. And it's a well-written and fascinating story. Turn Here, Sweet Corn.
And you have that's available at growingformarket.com, but you also say there are two other books available from that same source, The Essential Urban Farmer by Novella Carpenter and Willow Rosenthal, and also, there a third book?
Yes, Small Farm Equipment.
Oh, there we go.
So The Essential Urban Farmer is a chock full of everything you'd ever want to know kind of textbook for how to get a lot of food out of a small space. It covers specifically urban problems, like what if your soil has metal contamination and needs to be remediated. Mm-hmm. But there are also tips in there for producing such a lot of vegetables on a small space that I found it quite good for backyard gardeners as well.
Great.
And it's one of these books that explains everything from a beginner's perspective. So,
which is really nice, because it's there if you need it. And if you don't, you can just, you know, skip to the meat of it.
It doesn't stay at the simple level.
Right.
It moves on to whatever you need.
That's great.
That's very similar in style to this new book, Small Farm Equipment, by John McGee. He had worked on many farms and realized that there are people who come to farming from a non-farm background and may not have the intuitive equipment sense that farmers have.
Oh, that's great.
And so he describes from the most basic level on up what different tools are and how to take care of your mowers, your trimmers, your rototillers, even to how to gap a spark plug. And what does that gapper look like, the tool?
That's great, because as you said, unless you grow up watching someone do it, it might not be the easiest thing to figure out or pick up later in life.
And it's the kind of thing that you may not even know what questions to ask.
Right.
Like, Judith, can I borrow your spark plug gapper?
If I had one, it would be all yours, Astrid. Well, that's great. And we would love to hear from you. What book is on your shelf, whether it's maybe a book that a cookbook that you use all that great bounty from your garden, or a gardening book, or a book like that, Small Farm Equipment, that has helped you be a better gardener or to live more sustainably? We'd love to hear from you. You can give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also send us an email at talk@wpr.org, or post a question or a comment or a suggestion on our Facebook page. That's The Larry Mueller Show. And actually, Gail posted on the Facebook page, I have some of the newer books from Timber Press on my Christmas list. And she also says, I have given Falco pruners and tub trugs as gifts in the past. And I have to admit, I do not know what a tub trug is.
A tub trug is kind of like a flexible bushel basket.
Oh.
And you can use them for just hauling things around the garden. They carry water as well. And you can use them for storing produce or storing equipment or storing soccer balls and footballs that are, you know, errant in your garage.
Those tend to multiply too, just like the lawn ornaments we're talking about.
And I have made a tub trug out of a recycled Rubbermaid trash can.
Huh.
Just by cutting it in half, but leaving a strap-like handle on the back of it that I use to haul it around.
Great. And actually, I want to make sure, before we move away from books and magazines, I want to make sure we mention Enact, Steps to Greener Living by Sonia Neuenhaus, your sister, who is often here with us. Tell us what's in Enact.
Enact is a book that has day-to-day tasks you can do to make your life and your home more sustainable. And it shows you step by step. For example, how do I replace my shower head to a water saving shower head? And it's a great book if you have a group of people. Sometimes a neighborhood gets together, a group of people who go through the steps together.
Great.
Sonia's not here because she's on maternity leave.
Yes, yes. She and her husband just adopted a little boy. So we miss her. It's a wonderful holiday. It's kind of the kickoff of the holiday season.
Yes.
Having you and Sonia here, but certainly we're happy for her and her family. And you wanted to make sure that we mentioned the things to keep the gardener safe when they're out gardening, hats and gloves and things like that. What are some of the basics and sunglasses? What are some of the basics that we should be wearing as a gardener or making sure our gardeners are protecting
themselves? I think number one is the garden hat, because sun does so much damage and you just forget about that when you're out there gardening. Mm-hmm. But there's some really great hats. They come in all different styles and sizes and materials. So look for a hat with a brim that will keep the sun off of you.
And gloves are really important, too.
Yes, and there's some really nice gloves, too. Gloves have come a long way since the plain old canvas and leather mm-hmm. gloves from when I was little. But now there are gloves that are made of nitrile or that are formed after bicycle gloves. They're very cushioned.
Oh,
gloves
okay.
are not an expensive gift, either.
Right. And sunglasses for eye protection.
Sunglasses,
as well.
Again, to keep protect your eyes from the sun.
Well, let's move into the gift ideas for $50 to $100. So these are more, you know, for someone a little closer to you than and that you're really trying to find something in a little higher category, perhaps. One of the things that you have is a heated bird bath.
Well, I talked to Shelley Ryan of the Wisconsin Gardener and said, hey, what would you like for Christmas if someone had you on their gift list? Right away, she said, a bird bath heater or a heated bird bath. And if you already have a bird bath, you can get just the heater, which is this element that sits in the water and then you plug in. But what's so great about it is you'd have all these birds at your yard all season long.
Yeah. And also, it's winter is a great time for watching birds because there's not a lot obstructing your view of them either.
I haven't yet drained our backyard pond, and I'm just amazed at all the birds that are using that water and flocking to mm-hmm. it. I mean, woodpeckers, just all kinds of birds.
And so if we can extend that season, all the better for us and probably good for the birds as well. You also have a food dehydrator in that category. What do you like to dehydrate?
I
think you brought some things along last year that you were dehydrated.
Apples. We like to camp, and so it's kind of fun to just try to see what you can bring with you that takes up less space. Mm-hmm. We do kayak camping. And this year, our friends borrowed our dehydrator and dried potatoes there, which was really nice.
And so what did they do with them after?
Then we had like mashed potatoes.
Oh, wow.
At camp.
That's great. Wow. And you also have cast iron cookware, which I think is always a great idea.
And that, too, has come a long way. There's not just the old black basics, but there's colorful enameled ones now that are really nice.
You can also often find nice old cast iron cookware at antique malls or places like mm-hmm. that. You know, you don't necessarily have to buy something new, and if they've been well taken care of, they're good for ever.
We like the even heat.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go to Jeannie in Phillips. Hi, Jeannie.
Hello. I'm just wondering if you know of a source to find a chopper or grinder for compost. I would like to leave it outside where I make my compost near the garden, and I'd like it to be stainless steel.
I would look, I can't picture what that looks like, but the company Lee Valley has a lot of wonderful stainless steel tools, and they're on our list. It's a Canadian company. If they don't, I would go to a company called Gardener's Supply or Gardener's Edge. Both of them have wonderful catalogs that have a lot of composting type of items.
Okay, thank you.
Sure, and that Lee Valley website is Lee Valley, LEEValley.com. Also, Gardener's Supply is Gardener's, plural, .com, and Gardener's Edge is Gardener'sEdge.com. So, kind of love those easy-to-remember websites. So, thanks for that call, Jeannie, and you can join us by calling 800-642-1234 with your questions or comments or suggestions for gifts. We would love to hear what you you've gotten as a gift that is either gardening oriented or maybe cooking oriented or something that's allowed you to live a little more simply or more greenly, more sustainably. We'd love to hear from you. 800-642-1234. And we talked earlier about the over-the-sink cutting board with a removable colander. That also fits into this category. I really like that you have organic cotton items like sheets and towels and blankets. And I think it's a good time to talk about the fact that organic isn't just about what we're coming into contact with, but it's what's happening to the place where things are being grown and also the people that are working in those fields.
To the soil. Cotton is one of the most heaviest users of pesticides as a crop. And so if you can find organic cotton, it's really nice. Same with hemp, organic hemp. Hemp is a natural product, natural fiber.
Moving up to the gift ideas of $100 or more, we heard from a beekeeper earlier, but you have a beekeeping starter kit that's about $150. What comes in that kit?
That is, it's from a company out of Minnesota, and I think Sonia talked about this. I have not kept bees. I'm not sure exactly what comes with it, but I looked it up, and it was, they listed everything you would need just to get started. I've learned that once people get started on bees, oh my gosh, do they take off.
Kind of like chickens, too.
Yes.
People get very into their chickens. You also have, I really like this one, a weather station. And what kind of information does that weather station give?
I really like our weather station, and there's a lot of them available now. I'm kind of a wind nut.
There are worse things to be nuts about.
I did some research on how wind affects crop yield. But so I'm into wind. You don't really need that on your weather station. I would recommend temperature, including the overnight temperature, because you want to know if it froze over the night.
The whole range that your plants are being exposed to.
And then, of course, rainfall and humidity.
Great. And you also have a push reel mower.
Again, mowers have come a long way, and there's two different kinds that we're talking about. One is an electric, so a powered lawnmower, but the batteries have just been so much more research has gone into the battery and the shelf life of the batteries. So the Toro e-cycler is a really nice one. And then for the real mowers, and this is the one, the not powered, the kind, you know, that just has a great big reel. They are much lighter now, and they also stay sharper longer.
Which is, as we talked about earlier, you know, if you have a tool that's not very sharp, it's not going to be very effective. And especially when you're on the other end pushing, you want something that's going to be.
So this is one tool that I would not recommend getting at a garage sale, because there you would often get the old heavy version.
And probably well used and maybe not well sharpened. Well, let's go to the phones, because as we say, we love when callers talk to each other and help each other out. And it sounds like Scott in Beaver Dam has a suggestion for our last caller. Hi, Scott.
Hi there. I heard the one lady ask about for composting to have some type of chopper. And we've developed a chopper that does not have stainless steel blades to it just because of safety. But it has these carbon blades. It's very inexpensive, and you can move it around the top of your compost bin, and it has a hood on it. You just throw it in, and it's very inexpensive, and it will chop up to 1 inch in diameter twigs if you want to, or it will completely shred a head of lettuce for you.
Great.
Sounds great. So where do we get that, Scott?
Well, right now, all it is a telephone number. We have two different models. One model is basically, it has that and it's electric. And so you need to make sure you have an outlet to plug that in. And you could just call 920-887-9015. And once we have it certified and it's cost-effective, there's going to be another one that actually is going to be solar. But the solar panels are so expensive at this point, it's not feasible. So
great.
The other one is much more feasible.
So that was 920-887-9015, right?
Correct.
Great. All right. Thanks so much for that, Scott. And it's great. I mean, obviously, you and Sonia put so much time into researching these things, but they're always new things out there.
Yeah, I love hearing about that.
And what I love is that Sonia and Astrid have at the bottom of the list, which again, you can get at the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. It's listed as a note there and you can copy it or re-share it. That would be great too. But you can also email talk@WPR.org and we're happy to send you a Microsoft Word document with that list. And Sonia and Astrid asks people to make suggestions for next year's list. So we're happy to have people incorporate those. So thanks so much. I want to make sure we have, in the last couple minutes we have here, let's talk about the gift of time and the gift of classes, because I think those are both really great things to highlight.
Yeah, any gardener would love to have help in their garden, any kind of help. So you could give a gift certificate to help with tool sharpening, with raking, with hauling mulch or compost, or building a raised bed or a trellis, or simply taking someone out for a visit to a botanic garden.
Right.
Even in winter, these are gorgeous.
Or going to something, taking someone to something like Garden Expo that Wisconsin Public Television sponsors every February. So, I think too, you know, giving the gift of time to someone, you're helping them out, but it's also an opportunity to spend time with that person.
Right.
And that's, you know, for a lot of people, that's worth more than any gift that you
yes.
could buy them off the shelf.
It's the most cherished.
And gifts of classes, I think, whether you're just giving someone a certificate for that or you're doing it with them, those are great things. What are some of the ones that you highlight here?
The one, Shelley Ryan loves this Midwest Woodlanders Gathering. In fact, she teaches natural dyeing of scarves there. And it happens every July. There's a zillion topics that you can take workshops in. And you actually leave the weekend with your product, whether it's a bent wood rocker that you've made or a trellis or some art piece.
Nice.
So that's Midwest Woodlanders Gathering in Mineral Point.
And that's woodlanders.com is the website. You also have a cheese making class.
Yeah, I got into cheese last year. And this class is out of Mequon, and it's called The Cheesemaker. And it's an introductory class. And again, after the class, you leave with your cheese.
That's what's not to like about that. You also have the Driftless Folk School, which is out in Viroqua.
Yes, and there are several folk schools in the Midwest based on the Scandinavian tradition of folk and cultural crafts. One of them is the Driftless Folk School, and another one is the Clearing up in Door County, which is historically Jensen's school. So there you learn similar things like beekeeping or art, making art from natural objects.
Well, so many great ideas for gifts for the gardener or people that would like to live a little more greenly. Astrid Neuenhaus and her sister Sonia Neuenhaus put together this great list for us every year, and we so appreciate it. And Astrid, thanks so much for spending the time with us today.
Oh, you're welcome, Judith. It's fun.
And people can get that list at the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page or by sending an email to talk@WPR.org. Stay tuned for lots of great programs here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. Thanks for listening.